Should Adventists be special? Welcome to The Good Word. I'm Mathilde Frey, professor of Old Testament in the Walla Walla University School of Theology. I'm your host and study guide author. We continue our series on present truth in Deuteronomy. My conversation partners are Jody Washburn, professor of Old Testament in the School of Theology, and Alden Thompson, emeritus professor of Old Testament from the Walla Walla University School of Theology. Should Adventists be special?
Of course, but then everyone else should be as well.
This is like I just returned from a birthday party with a whole lot of little six-year-olds. They all taped the tail on the unicorn. And everyone won. They're all incredibly special, right? And they all got to try their own separate time. That's what it reminded me of, Alden. This question, though, Mathilde, it reminds me of this discomfort comes up often for students when you first explain, especially to students who haven't thought a lot about this before, you explain this idea of Israel as God's chosen people. Well, that's not fair, they say. Well, why didn't God choose this other group? Right? And it strikes me that maybe we're equating the idea of a specific role, so a special role, with some sort of elitism or being on a different level than other people, when really that equating those two is not necessary. That perhaps you can have a specific role. I mean, like, think of the covenant to Abraham, Genesis 12, where, you know, the idea was that, yes, I'm calling you, go, right? Go to the place that I show you. But the purpose of that then was that all peoples of the earth will be blessed through that line that comes from you. So I wonder if we make an equivalency there kind of automatically in our head, and that might be where some of the discomfort comes from with the idea of, like, we're special, and what does that mean for everyone else, you know?
You know, my mentor, when I was in college, J. Paul Grove, emphasized again and again, we are chosen not for privilege, but for responsibility.
That's a beautiful way to put it.
If we remember that, then there's plenty of work to do.
That is the very same line I have read now over and over from well-known Jewish leaders. And since we are speaking of the story of Israel, right, and it is this emphasis that is placed on the responsibility that is given to the people. And the text that this week is the leading text in Deuteronomy chapter 4 about for what great nation is there? This is chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as is the Lord our God, whenever we call on him? Or what great nation is there that has statutes and judgments as righteous as this whole law, which I am setting before you today?
And the interesting thing about that is that this, he is talking to the context of the foreigners. Because the first part of that verse says, so keep them and do them, for that is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. So this isn't just the Israelites patting themselves on the back. This is their foreign neighbor saying, wow, that's really special.
So not the people say that. The others have to say it about you.
That's right.
Then it is the right way of addressing.
That's right. When you say it of yourself, it doesn't strike home.
It strikes as slightly arrogant, perhaps.
And I think this verse, too, is a great one to see that law is not just for condemnation. You could even use the phrase law as gospel. God has given these things. It's a wonderful gift to the people. And you certainly get that in Psalm 119, too, where Torah, law, is a wonderful gift. So often in Protestant circles, thanks to Martin Luther, we think of law as an instrument of condemnation and grace as deliverance. But I think we have the privilege of seeing law as gospel. It's something which is a gift that God gives us.
I wonder, Alden, if part of the tension that we sense when we talk about this might be from, like, if I say I'm special, right, or chosen or set apart, then maybe I might automatically go to, well, then it's my role to make every other human being like me. They should be doing the same thing or acting in the same way, or just somehow like that's my worth, right? And if I'm really going to engage with others, I have to make them like me. Yeah. And I wonder if that, again, you know, because there's a tension there, that there are lots of examples in the biblical text where the other nations, like in the prophetic literature, the post-exilic literature, other nations looked, right? And they looked and they said, hey, we see that God is with you, right? And you have the same thing later on, you have this tension. I mean, even Matilda, you mentioned in this particular lesson, the neither Jew nor Greek, mm-hmm. right? But maybe we automatically assume that means everyone becomes a Jew. And maybe that's not what's meant, right? Maybe there's something bigger going on.
Mm-hmm. So if there is this view of the chosenness, of being that special people, and yet this people in the story in the Bible are truly a small people in the world, and are called in these texts to such a great task.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we take that that concept, that idea, and use it in the context of our Adventist church and Adventist community, and we see ourselves as tasked by God for a specific, special purpose, especially in view of end-time message and so on, what do you see there as challenges, and maybe even could there be a danger in that when we take it into a certain direction?
Well, it seems to me, first of all, we need to recognize that Adventism is a sectarian body. In other words, we are countercultural. The mainstream community is very undifferentiated, but when a sectarian community typically wants to have a greater intensity of holiness, and so they separate from the mainstream body. And that may be entirely justified, but it has all kinds of dangers built into it. Because when you step aside and say, we're the true holy ones, too bad about the rest of you, that one is, I think, something that the prophets would not be very happy about.
Hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, I think of one of those dangers is utilitarianism. And I mean that in the sense of, I guess it's easy if you're not aware, right, of the challenges of the sort of mindset or the framework that Alden just mentioned. If you're not aware of those, and in a community where you can process and sort of remind each other, hey, let's steer back to what our real goal is, it's so easy to engage with people only to get something. So, you know, you take something down to your neighbor only because you want to tuck a tract under the loaf of bread that you give them, right? And you measure your success by how many, you know, strangers have come to your small group or your church potluck that month, right? And it's all sort of, it dehumanizes in the sense that you're not engaging human to human and recognizing that the work of God is happening in that interaction. It has to happen the way you want and in the spaces you want. And that's sort of what I mean by the utilitarian danger, right? Because it dehumanizes not only the people that we engage with, but it can dehumanize us as well. If we think God can only be, you know, working if it looks this one way.
Yeah, there's a temptation to have people, especially when you have a strong evangelical outreach, that every time you win one, it puts another notch in your hatchet handle. And I want people to want to be part of my community, but I don't want them to see themselves, our interest in them, as simply keeping some kind of score.
Mm-hmm. And we do see this happening. So over the course of centuries throughout our denomination, there is that that aspect to make sure to bring people in because there is this specialness about us.
Mm-hmm.
And in a sense, that is a driving element of our mission work,
uh-huh.
isn't it? If that element wouldn't be there, then maybe our zeal to go out and bring the message would like dissipate, and we become the mainstream then.
Mm-hmm. It strikes me that another part of this is we talk often, I mean, this is sort of in vogue today to talk about diversity, right? We even talked just recently, do we have a more diverse student body and all of this? And when I think back on my many different experiences in many different contexts, reaching out, right? Some sort of group work that's outward focused. So many times, the idea was that diversity is great when everyone's out there, right, and you're getting them. So you get them. You want to get people from all different backgrounds and with different mindsets and everything. But once they're in, whatever that is, once they're officially on the books or once they've been baptized or whatever the line might be, my impression was, then we want them all to become uniform after that. And I think that might be another one of these liabilities that we need to be mindful of. And it makes mm-hmm. me think of, in Philippians when Paul says, do nothing out of selfish ambition, right? But in everything, let the mind of Christ be in you. And then Paul lays out that Jesus gave of himself to lift others up, mm-hmm. not like kind of pushing them down, right? Get smaller, be like us, right? To make space for Jesus to lift up. It's opposite of that. So I think that's another opportunity for accountability, I guess, mm-hmm. that when we reach out, may we have conversation partners to hold us accountable.
Yeah, yeah. Deuteronomy 4 is wonderful because it truly then brings it down to the reference to the God who is the God of all creation. At the end of the chapter, it speaks about that, how God has created human beings all over, so that that universal and inclusive imagery of a creator God for all is important, especially when we speak in this small community of people to the great world out there. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Jody Washburn and Alden Thompson. And also thank you to Samuel Scheffner, our program engineer, and to all of you who are listening in today. For The Good Word, I am Matilda Fry.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.